You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com, college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago and host of the 312 Show on AM 1590 WCGO. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail line is at 331-979-1369. Going to jump into a bunch of text messages and voicemails today on top of the Celtics preview, so hit us up there. Either before tonight's game, after tonight's game, whenever you want to, text and voicemails at 331-979-1369. Welcome back, middle of the week, Matt. We've got the Boston Celtics tonight. But I think first, you know what day it is today?
Why do I feel like you're about to play a clip of that camel from that Geico commercial? It's Geico. Huh? Hey!
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
Mike.
It's hump day.
What day is it, Mike?
Besides being hump day, today marks the 1 year of Matt and I taking over Locked On Bulls and running with it. It's been quite the year. I mean, 5 episodes a week. I went back and looked through our log, and we've missed maybe 10 episodes in 52 weeks since hopping on this Bulls podcast, and it's been great. Got to, first and foremost, thank all the people out there that are listening. If you've been listening to Matt and I since we did the Debatables back like almost 2 years ago now, all the way through Locked On Bulls, or if you just picked up the show last week, we thank you for listening, and it's been a whole lot of fun, man. We've had a ton of fun on this show, and been to do things as a podcast already in just year
man.
One.
It's crazy to think that today is the 1 year anniversary. Happy anniversary to you, my friend. Man, this is nuts. I mean, just thinking about where this team was when we took over for the Locked On Bulls podcast and early season last year, the Jimmy trade was still kind of fresh in everyone's minds. Everybody's wondering what we're going to get out of these guys like Dunn, waiting for LaVine to come back, still rehabbing an ACL. And of course, like the Nico and Bobby fight was still unresolved this time last year. And that was like the main talking point coming into a tanking season, which is nuts. And everything that's happened from then to now, all the great, awesome people that we've had as guests on this show, whether it be, you know, Hyken, one of the former hosts, other Bulls people, Bulls writers and podcasters like Stefan Noh, Nick Friedell, Darnell Mayberry, Malika Andrews, Casey Johnson. We've had people from 670 on. We've had people from ESPN 1000 on. And I mean, who could forget? Zach Gilford, QB1, diehard Bulls fan. Like, we talked to QB1 about the Bulls because this show, this podcast, has really resonated with Bulls fans over the last year. And it's because we have such great listenership that we do and are able to do things like that. So, you know, it's a tough, grueling part of, you know, Bulls fandom right now. These aren't easy seasons that we're fighting our way through, but it is a true testament to this insane fan base that even when the Bulls were tanking last year and don't necessarily look like they're, you know, on their way to being a competitive team this year, our numbers across the entire Locked On NBA network are every single week top 10. So thank you to our listeners for that, which, you know, it's Bulls fans are nuts. I can't believe you guys listen to us 5 times a week. That's stupid.
It's awesome, really. And you talked about all the guests that we've had on before and just looking to add to that list. But on top of everybody that's joined our show, doing a live show as a podcast, Matt and I really not knowing how to set up a live show and how it's going to go as a podcast. So all of those people who came out and supported us in September when we had Bobby Portis come out and kick my ass in bowling, that was a lot of fun, too.
Oh, God, that was the best. That was so awesome.
So on top of all of that, you know, it's just snowballing from here. So we're super excited 1 year into this, you know, thinking about all the biggest storylines of last year. And I think, you know, listening to the first 2 weeks of our show on Locked On Bulls, the conversation and one of the biggest questions that came out of it was, how are we going to gauge this team a year from now? And I was surprised by that. And I wanted to get your kind of reaction just from when we took over at the beginning, the Bobby fight happening, being year one of a rebuild, all of the storylines. Like, even think about the winning streak in December, and then following that into January, and Nico Mirotic's trade talks took over probably about the entire month, and then it led into draft talk, and then it led into free agency, and the Jabari Parker re-signing Zach LaVine. Who are the Bulls going to take? Are they going to end up in the top of the lottery? There were so many storylines just from a tanking perspective that at least I hope kept our listeners entertained, and as Bulls fans, kept yourself entertained.
Yeah, man, we covered a lot of ground. Some of those episodes through the summer months, you know, God bless the fact that NBA is a 365 league. There are, you know, some down months after the free agency wave kind of settles. We definitely had to get creative in the back end of August and into September before we could start talking about training camp stuff. But I mean, I recall, you know, I was looking back on some of our old stuff, and there was a couple episodes we did leading up to the Jabari Parker signing. And I was not a happy camper, and I was getting heat from all kinds of places. They're like, I can't believe you don't think they're going to do it. Why wouldn't they do it? And I was like, because I don't want to believe that the Bulls front office would make another move that this nonsensical. And hey, that happened. A bunch of crazy things happened. And man, it's just been fun to react to every little you know, piece and nugget of what's going on with this team that we love so much over the last year.
You know, on top of all of that, the giveaways we've been able to do across the board since we started here at Locked On Bulls have been awesome. We've given away Bulls tickets twice. We've given away autographed photos, autographed memorabilia. We've given away a marketing jersey. So we want to continue that. And so head over to our Twitter page. Today, we're going to be giving away a Wendell Carter Jr. jersey. So just retweet, like the picture, spread the word about Locked On Bulls. We'd love to hear from you. So we're going to give that away and continue doing our giveaways all season long. So for those listeners out there that are following us, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Be doing that giveaway there. On top of all of that, Matt, I've compiled some audio over the course of a year that we're going to include as a bonus episode. It'll come out sometime today. I don't know exactly what time. I want to make sure I have all the segments that are entertaining over the last year, and so I'm not quite done with it yet, but I promise it'll be out at sometime today. So for our newer listeners, over the past couple of months, maybe you just jumped on board this season, you'll be able to kind of reflect and go back to some of our best segments over the years and some of the guests that we've had on across the board and kind of what they've said about this Bulls rebuilding team over the course of a year. So it should be a good listen. So on top of this, today's episode, which we're going to get back to normal stuff, there will be a bonus episode later today that'll go through some of the best segments, some of the guests that we've had on before, and some of the best and worst moments, and some of the callers, too, some of our best callers, which have been entertaining, and we appreciate that, too, seriously. Continue to call in. Not only do we love it, but the listeners out there love it. So 331-979-1369 is always your home to call in and just reflect, and if you need to vent about this Bulls team, that's the place to do it.
Absolutely, man. I can't wait to hear this little look back episode that you clipped together. If you happen to throw in the day after the Jabari signing episode, and I can't even remember what I said, but I feel like you need to be playing Sarah McLachlan in the background.
The conversations leading up to the signing were hilarious. All right, let's take a short break here on Locked On Bulls. Remember, giveaway on Twitter. Wendell Carter Jr. jersey. You want to win it. All you have to do is like and retweet our post. Would appreciate that. And you automatically enter yourself in the contest. We're going to run that for about 48 hours, so make sure you get on that quickly. That'll be up by the time you're listening to this episode. So hit us up at Locked On Bulls on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. When we come back, we're going to preview the Boston Celtics. I was listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast, their most recent episode, and kind of want to get into some of their main concerns this season off to a pretty slow start. So we'll get into that and some voicemails and text messages on the back end of the episode. Stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds. Back here on Locked On Bulls, 331-979-1369 is the place to hit us up. Text messages and voicemails there at Locked On Bulls on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. So, Matt, we've got on the road at the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics are 1-4 on their road trip coming back home. Struggling, man. Struggling. Like, Kyrie Irving is averaging 21 points a game, and that's their highest points per game leader on that Boston Celtics team this year. Off to a pretty slow start. Gordon Hayward averaging under 10 points per game this year. Hasn't looked good in that starting lineup. Hasn't fit. And that's been one of the main concerns. Listening to Locked On Celtics, that has been their biggest concern so far, is Gordon Hayward has not fit with that starting rotation. And Jaylen Brown hasn't been as good as advertised as he was last year. So there are some concerns with this Boston Celtics team as we go up against them tonight.
And not only that, but they got Terry Rozier, who's not happy with the minutes he's been getting, and there's maybe a little bit of contention there in that locker room. As excited and high as everyone was about this young Celtics team that came one win away from the finals last year, and with adding a healthy Kyrie and a healthy Gordon Hayward to that promising young trio group of stars that they had last season, and LeBron leaving, everybody pegged Boston as the number one seed in the East this year, and they've certainly gotten off to a rough start while Kawhi and the Raptors are flying out of the gate. I mean, you look at really what the struggle has been, and the Celtics started this season as one of the better defensive teams in the league, and recently, especially on this road trip that they just finished, as you mentioned, going 1-4 on that road trip, the only team they managed to beat were the pathetic Phoenix Suns. Their defense has completely fallen apart, which is not something you would expect from this Boston team. So I'm guessing that Brad Stevens is going to make that a focal point in their preparation for this game. And I mean, I do not be surprised if Zach LaVine has a tough night tonight, because I would guess that Brad Stevens' top priority coming into this game is to refocus that team's defense. Yes, Hayward has struggled to fit in on the offensive end, and guys aren't necessarily looking like a very cohesive unit running the offense outside of Kyrie doing his usual thing. But Brad Stevens is a smart coach, and I think he can look at what they've done defensively, or better yet, failed to do defensively on that road trip, and say, guys, we're back home. We need to refocus our minds and our strategy defensively. And I think that could mean a pretty tough night for Zach LaVine.
On top of that, man, Ryan Arcidiacono has his hands full tonight with Kyrie Irving. Like,
ooh, good luck, Archie.
Listening to Locked On Celtics, they were talking about how really there's only one guy on their team this year that can play hero ball, can take like 18 to 20 shots a night that has deserved it, and that's Kyrie Irving. And like, I'm already worried for Archie, and I think, you know, without a doubt, he's the best matchup for Kyrie tonight with what the Bulls have on their hands. But aside from that, you know, it's going to be a tough night for him. But I think he might be up for the challenge. Let's just hope Kyrie doesn't come out and drop 30, 35 on us. That would be nice to see. And the one thing that I'm looking at as far as a team goes is the Celtics have struggled scoring. And it's not from the three-point line either. It's they're fifth in three-point makes this year. They're sixth in three-point attempts this year. And they're middle of the pack in the NBA as far as three-point percentage goes at 35.6%. That's 15th in the league. But where they're struggling the most is around the rim in the two-point line. They're 28th in two-point attempt makes. They're 25th in two-point attempts. And they're 28th in two-point percentage. So that, to me, tells me they can't get anything going down low. That might change tonight. And I'm hoping it doesn't. And Wendell Carter Jr., this might be kind of one of those other breakout games that we could have going up against what a lot of people have compared him to in Al Horford. You know, they've struggled down low. So I would imagine that if they're coming off a 1-4 road trip, that they still haven't figured things out around the rim. Wendell Carter Jr. could come up with, I don't know, 12, 13 rebounds tonight, 3 or 4 blocks. So look for that. But if the Bulls start out with bad perimeter defense tonight, it could be a long night.
If? Did you say if?
I'm trying to give them a little bit of credit here. The Celtics coming off a 1-4 road trip, though, bothers me because they're coming back home, still have some things to figure out, and this Bulls team might be there
out. The Bulls are running straight into a buzzsaw tonight. I fully expect them to lose this game, and I don't think it'll be close. I know that the Celtics haven't looked great, but they are a better team than the way that they've, you know, than the sum of their parts has played recently. The Bulls are still a shorthanded team. You mentioned Archie going to be, you know, just way, you know, in over his head. As much as we like him and believe that he deserved that starting spot over campaign with his recent performances, Kyrie is one of the toughest guys in the league to guard. One of the guys in the league that you could say it's you know, nigh impossible to guard him. And you mentioned Wendell having that, you know, the matchup with his comp, this kid could turn into the next Al Horford. Really interested to see how the Bulls do there, how he does on the glass, how the Bulls do on the glass as a team. Because if they give the Celtics a bunch of second chance opportunities the way that they've been giving most of their opponents, the Celtics are too good of a team to not make the Bulls pay for that. The Bulls on the road need to take care of the ball. We can't have a 7 turnover night from Zach LaVine. We just can't afford it. I think, as I said earlier, the Celtics making it a focus to jump out of the gate with some aggressive defense tonight, 7 turnovers from LaVine doesn't seem all that unlikely to me. And I think that, coupled with Kyrie Irving, will be a problem for the Bulls.
One thing in the Bulls' favor, you know, we had mentioned over the last, I don't know, 2 weeks or so, the Bulls have been top 10 in defensive rating, have adjusted things and been better on the defensive end. But with that came a drop in their offense, stagnated, you know, a lot of one-on-one isolation play and no real other secondary score for the Bulls. So tonight, I think the Celtics might have a little bit of trouble if they continue to come into this game and not be able to score around the rim, not be able to take advantage of having Parker and a rookie and Carter around the rim. And if you can't take advantage of that, the Bulls could hang around in this game. The one biggest key for me is to limit the threes by the Celtics tonight and limit those makes, especially from Kyrie Irving. You know, you look at Jason Tatum. He was shooting 43.4% from three his rookie season. This year, he's down to 38.6. That's still really good percentage, but his shooting has dipped a ton. So limit him, limit Jaylen Brown. Gordon Hayward, I don't really think you need to worry about him tonight. He has looked brutal, and that's kind of what those guys in Boston have been saying. It's he hasn't really fit, and they've tossed out the idea of maybe bringing him off the bench, which would be an absolute killer for the Bulls. If they did that tonight, if they brought Gordon Hayward off the bench, we might spark a Gordon Hayward, hey, here he is, he's come out of nowhere. So I hope they don't do that tonight. But I think, you know, the Celtics struggling to score, the Bulls coming recently with a better defensive showing, might be a somewhat competitive game. And that's to say that Zach LaVine is going to go out there and drop 30 automatically. Like, that's the conversation. It starts and ends in there.
So are you taking the Bulls to Are you taking the Bulls on that 12.5-point spread then? Oh, actually, it just shifted to 13. Boston minus 13.
13 points tonight?
Do the Bulls... Do the
Man,
Celtics
that's a
cover
lot
that?
Of points to be given up. And for a Celtics team that has struggled scoring, I might lean to take that tonight. You know, the Bulls Bulls offense hasn't been great, but it's even worse on the road. I will admit that. But 13 points is a ton of points to give up to a 7-6 Celtics
it is.
Team. You know,
it is. Yeah, but they are at home going up against a 4-10 Bulls team.
That's true. That's very true.
I'm gonna take the Celtics on this. I'm gonna take the Celtics to cover that 13. And if they don't and the Bulls give them a game tonight, then I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Putting their numbers together, looking at their on-off court numbers this year, Cameron Payne has been a negative 14.8 when he's been on the floor, and Ryan Arcidiacono has been a net rating of plus 2. So clearly the Bulls are playing better with Ryan Arcidiacono, no duh. But I thought the overarching surprise here for me, and the one thing that we were able to notice at the eye test, but maybe the stats needed to back that up a little bit more, is Arcidiacono's assist ratio when he's just on the floor. Not just his assist ratio, but overall what the Bulls are doing collectively. 43.1% assist ratio to Cameron Payne's 25. So the ball seems to be moving when Archie's on the floor, more so when it was on Cameron Payne. And this is all backing up by the eye test too. But I was very surprised, you know, looking at the on-off court numbers, when Cameron Payne was on the floor, negative 20.5 net rating. When he was off the floor, the Bulls weren't great, but they were a little bit better at negative 14.9. To me, man, it's clear that Cameron Payne, probably for the foreseeable future, will be continuing to get DMPs.
I mean, Fred Hoiberg would be crazy to change that up. You look at Arcidiacono's second start in their loss to Dallas on Monday, not overwhelming by any means, but the most important thing, and I think the biggest key that Fred keeps looking at, in addition to Arcidiacono's consistent effort on the defensive end, where Cam sometimes just kind of checks out, is the assist to turnover ratio. 6 assists, 0 turnovers for Archie. Because this Fred knows that this Bulls team, especially with some of his key guys on the shelf right now, is so lacking in talent that their margin for error is essentially zero. Their margin for error is actually probably in the negatives, where they need to commit 0 errors and mental mistakes and hope that their opponent commits a handful for them to have a chance to win the game. That's basically what's been the situation for the first 15 games of this season. Because when the Bulls win against shoddy opponents, those opponents make more dumb mistakes than the Bulls. And guess what? Arcidiacono definitely making fewer dumb mistakes than Cam Payne. And I don't see that changing. And I don't see Fred's rotation changing.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I don't see it changing either. You know, just looking at the shot percentage too, you may think like, oh, maybe Cameron Payne was closer than we thought. No. Efficiency field goal percentage that takes into account free throws and your makes and three-pointers, 67.5% for Ryan Arcidiacono to a 45.9% for Cameron Payne. That is a terrible efficiency field goal percentage for Cam Payne. So, yeah, he's going to continue to get DNPs until the foreseeable future. All right, well, I got one more for you. Jabari Parker and Chandler Hutchison. So, on court, Jabari Parker, the Bulls are a plus 4.3 net rating. Does that surprise you?
A little bit, yeah.
Positive 4.3. When he's off the floor, the Bulls are a negative 9.6 net rating. And obviously, that comes and takes into account, too, the reserves that are on the bench, too, and the guys that are playing aren't as good as the starters that he's playing with. But still, positive net rating from Jabari Parker. Chandler Hutchison, though, overall, his net rating is negative 1.5. Jabari's personal net rating is negative 6.9 this year. So individually, Jabari hasn't been great. Chandler's been a little bit better, but... You know, I'd like to see Chandler Hutchison get a little bit more run than we've seen of recently. Like, throw him out there, man. Like, especially against the length tonight against Boston. Like, you're going to need his length out there. You can't run a lineup out there that's going to be Arcidiacono and at times Antonio Blakeney. Like, you're going to need some size. So throw Chandler Hutchison out there. Like to see him maybe get some more minutes at the four tonight. If Marcus Morris is off the floor, maybe you see Jason Tatum move to that four spot. Maybe a matchup there for Chandler Hutchison tonight. But both have been all right. Jabari been slightly worse. Chandler Hutchinson has been slightly better than I thought. So what are your thoughts on that, though, overall, just listening to Jabari's stats and Hutchinson's stats so far?
I mean, there were a handful of games when Jabari was still coming off the bench where he was getting a lot of points in garbage time. So that you got to weigh that factor in there as far as those numbers with him on and off the court. As far as him versus Chandler Hutchinson, we've clearly seen a mixed bag of good and bad from Hutch so far. But I honestly think it's in this team's best interest to keep Hutch in the starting lineup for his length, his defensive efforts, and his rebounding ability and his ability to push the pace. Not that Jabari isn't also good in transition. That's probably Jabari's best strength in his game is, you know, pushing and running a transition offense. We've seen evidence of that. But I also think that the second unit could really use Jabari as a scoring option, because when Jabari's in the starting lineup right now, you're talking about your bench being what? Hutchinson, Shaq Harris, Blakeney, Lopez. That's basically what Fred's working with right now. And other than Blakeney going out there and jacking up a million shots, that's not a lot of great offensive options. So, I mean, I would be surprised if Fred makes that change again and benches Jabari and puts Hutch back in the starting lineup. Personally, I would like to see it. And I would like to see Hutch get more than the, you know, somewhere between 12 and 18 minutes per game that he's been getting.
You got no argument for me, man. I'm fine with that, too. Like, especially, we've talked about it before early on in the season, trying to split Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker up as much as possible being on the floor together. Fred hasn't had much of a choice because of matchup problems that he's had to have to start Jabari, and Jabari hasn't been terrible in the plays that he has been. Credit to Fred Hoiberg, he's ripped him out of the game and put Chandler Hutchinson in. So maybe we see that in a similar fashion tonight. If Jabari makes mistakes early, he'll get ripped for Chandler Hutchinson, and we'll see what happens. The last thing I wanted to mention about the Celtics preview tonight was the Celtics coming into tonight 14 games in, defensive rating is number one in the league. Just throwing that out there. Just letting Bulls fans know that tonight. So if you see the Bulls struggling, and they have been on offense already with the opponents the last week and a half or so, coming in tonight, Boston may not be great on offense, but they are the number one defensive team this year in the NBA so far.
Yeah, the Bulls had a stretch against Dallas on Monday where they were like 3 of 20 from the field. And in a stretch between the first and second quarters. And that's the Dallas stinking Mavericks, okay? I'm telling you, this Boston Celtics team is going to come out tonight with a much better focus on the defensive end, a higher energy on the defensive end, and I think it's going to spell disaster for the Bulls.
Let's get to some text messages and voicemails, though. Hit us up at 331-979-1369. Hit us up there with all of your voicemails, all of your text messages. We'd love to hear from you. It's been about a week or a week and a half since we've done a mailbag, so we want to run through a lot of the text messages that we've gotten. So first up, Matt's text here from the 312. Looking at the Tankathon standings and feel like the Bulls have a good chance at a top five pick. Only because of the injuries, teams that are worse than us, Atlanta, Knicks, Cavs, and Suns. I can't see any of those teams trying to tank besides Orlando and the Nets. Just wanted to get your thoughts. So we just talked about this about 10 minutes ago. And just to re-highlight on that, of those, let's say the 14 teams in the Tankathon standings so far, Matt, looking at that lineup, how many teams do you pick out of there that you don't imagine to be in the lottery when we come springtime?
I mean, that's tough to say. I think it's easier to say confidently the teams that I believe will finish higher than the Bulls in those Tankathon standings. And I think there's not a doubt that Atlanta, New York, and Cleveland, and you could probably also throw Phoenix in there, have somewhere upwards of 75% chance of beating the Bulls to the top of that Tankathon standings. Phoenix, I'm not so sure of. They might get better as the season progresses. But right now, Atlanta, Knicks, and Cavs all look terrible.
Yeah, and looking at the Lakers, the Jazz, who are tied for the back end of that lottery, the Pelicans, the Rockets, in Orlando, they round out.
Outside of Orlando, you're talking about probable playoff teams, yeah, that have just had slow starts to the season.
So, in those middle-of-the-pack teams, I still don't know what to make of them. I still think now that Jimmy Butler is gone, the Timberwolves actually are going to be slightly better. They might play better. That sounds crazy, right? But I think that mess has kind of thrown them off. They had a 5-9 start, getting some role players. I think they're going to be better than, four or five games under 500. So, continue to watch them. At least they're going to be better than the Bulls. I think I can be confident in saying that. The Wizards, man, the Wizards are a toss-up. I have no idea what's going to happen with them, whether it's selling every piece that they have.
And you don't know if they're going to just break everything down and turn into a big seller before the trade deadline. That's totally within the realm of possibility.
Same thing with Miami. Miami, is stuck in the purgatory we were in 2 years ago, whether with all these bad contracts and whether or not they're going to try to sell off pieces and try to go for a complete tank, or if they're going to try to add a piece and just go for it. But either way,
Melo, D-Wade and Melo playing together.
And I refuse to answer any text messages about Melo to the Bulls. Oh, don't even bring up the idea.
Have we gotten any?
I've gotten a tweet or two.
I hope. Get the you-know-what out of here. All right, let's go to the next one. Jordan, you mentioned Jimmy going to Philly. This one's related to that from our buddy Sam in L.A. What's up, Jordan and Matt? With the Sixers losing some shooters in Saric and Covington, should the Bulls try to send Holiday to Philly for a second-round pick? To me, the answer here is it's not very realistic. I mean, we know that their 1A target is Kyle Korver, and who would you rather have, Kyle Korver or Justin Holiday? Obviously, Kyle Korver, better shooter, more reliable shooter, more consistent shooter.
Question for you, just kind of spinning that off of that trade value, guys that are coming back. Justin Holiday, it makes sense to the 76ers, but I think we're gonna have to wait maybe a month or two to see how desperate they get. Because like you mentioned, Sarge and Covington were two key role players on that team. And outside of J.J. Redick, who else are their three-point shooters? I can't think of other guys. I mean, Embiid can knock down the three, but...
I mean, Jimmy has improved his three-point shooting.
True, but he's not great.
No, he's not, reliable. He's not a great three-point shooter. He just went from being a bad three-point shooter to an okay three-point shooter.
So that might make sense. Like I said, though, to entertain the idea of the Bulls trading for second-round picks, though, is a non-starter. The Bulls don't like second-round picks, so I don't see that. And I think they genuinely value keeping Justin Holiday on this roster and let him walk for nothing rather than trading him for a second-round pick. It's just personally my opinion. So maybe you try to package Justin Holiday in a trade at the deadline, and you can get something better of more value, first-round pick, a guy that you can control. Maybe that happens somewhere down the line. But for a second-round pick, man, we know what the Bulls think of those, and it's not high. But I had a question for you, though. Thinking about Boston, I had it on my mind. If they're trying to improve their team and also be a little bit more flexible, and they swing and miss on maybe trading for a star at the deadline, right now they have four first-round picks. If the season ended today, they had four first-round picks. Four! So if they take those four first round picks, they don't get a star. You think about Bobby Portis for a second. If the Bulls don't want to pay him long term to come off the bench, would the Celtics maybe trade a first round pick for him? Maybe you can package Justin Holiday to come off the bench for him. Yeah, Bobby. Seriously,
I don't think Bobby's.
They've been looking for a stretch big that can.
I don't
score.
Think Bobby's worth a first round pick.
No, mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe the injury. Mm-hmm. Has deteriorated that a little bit.
I mean, he's a pretty good offensive player who can be that sixth man kind of guy for your bench. But is that worthy of a first round pick in the NBA these days? I don't think so.
All right, Matt. Next question. This one comes from J708. The question is, would you guys swap Dunn for Ball as our point guard? I honestly don't know. I love Dunn's defense. I haven't watched a lot of Lonzo defense, but I feel like Lonzo might have a higher ceiling. What do you guys think?
You know my answer. I don't want to come anywhere near that kid or his dad.
Uh-oh, welcome to Big Baller Zone.
It's weird to think that, thinking back on the 2017 and 2018 draft, I tweeted this out. Carter and Markkanen would both go top five if we redrafted, right? For sure, Markkanen in 2017.
So.
I think 2018 is still out. The jury's still out on that. But I think so far what we've seen, Markkanen for sure top five. And I think Ball still goes top five in 2017. Look, he's still got a lot of things to improve. I like the passing. I still think he's a great passing point guard. Could be somewhat like Rondo. But, huge but, is the fact that his jumper still looks weird. And, like, I don't know if that's going to consistently work. And seeing Markelle Fultz just as a disaster, like, that just all worries me when a guy has such a weird shot and he's been trying to work on it. To me, I mean, if the Lakers came to me and said, Lonzo Ball for Chris Dunn straight up, I'm probably doing it. But I don't have a ton of faith in Lonzo Ball turning out to be the guy that everybody praised him a year and a half ago as.
No, I don't think he is going to end up having as, you know, impressive a career as people were touting him coming into that draft class. I think he's going to be an okay NBA player, and a lot of that, as you said, hinges on whether or not he can learn how to shoot a ball. He is significantly younger than Chris Dunn, so he's got that to his advantage, and perhaps a bit better of a passer and playmaker, as you said, but clearly Dunn is a better defensive player. But, you know, to me, like, if it's just player for player, who's better, who's got a higher ceiling, like, it's just tough to tell, given the fact that we haven't seen a healthy stretch from Dunn in what feels like forever. And Lonzo, as you said, even, you know, without the whole, oh, I hate Lonzo Ball because I hate LaVar Ball part of my shtick, like, the shot is really weird, and I'm just not as impressed as people wanted to be impressed with Lonzo. So I just don't love that trade, because I don't know if Lonzo really makes this Bulls team a whole lot better. As much as I have my doubts about Chris Dunn right now, I really want to wait and see what Chris Dunn looks like when he comes back. Right now, as you said, if the Lakers came to us and said straight up Lonzo for Dunn, I'd say no. I'd say no. I think it would be a fair trade, but I'd say no.
Interesting. Ball's numbers per 36 minutes. His numbers dropped off from last year already this season. He was playing 34.2 minutes last season, started 50 of the 52 games he played in. This year he's only at 25.7, and that might just be because of the addition of Rondo. But his numbers haven't been great. Like, his offensive numbers haven't been great. This year per 36 minutes, 12 points, 6.7 rebounds, 6.9 assists. The rebounds and assists are nice, but they're a dip lower than they were last year at 7.3 and 7.6. The steals are still pretty nice there at nearly two steals a game, but the shooting percentage is awful. 36% last year and 41.4% this year. So a slight increase there, and a slight increase on his three-point shooting too. 30.5% last year, 36.2%. I think that's the deal breaker there, is if Lonzo Ball can knock down threes at a consistent level, then you have a clear-cut advantage on trading for him as opposed to Dunn. But yeah, the offense and defensive rating haven't been great either. 110 and 110 on both. For a net rating of zero. So at least the net rating is up from his 97 and 106 last year. But it's like splitting hairs at this point. And I think not having to deal with the injuries, and Lonzo has had a couple injuries.
Not having to deal with LaVar Ball. Are you kidding? This ridiculously disorganized Bulls franchise right now, where they try and brag about communication, but Fred's not great handling egos in locker rooms, and the front office isn't great dealing with big personalities. Seriously, bringing the Ball family to Chicago would be a gigantic mistake, because this front office and this franchise can't handle that right now. They can barely handle, I mean, they couldn't handle Jimmy Butler. They couldn't handle Joakim. They couldn't handle Derrick Rose. They certainly couldn't handle Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo. They can't handle anything. So what makes you think they could handle Lonzo Ball and the circus that comes along with that?
The way you keep saying my whole name, man. Hey, you know what? You can just loosen up and call me LaVar now. We've been on this thing for a long time.
I do feel like we've got – you can call me Mo if you want. I'll give you that.
Hey, why they call you Mo? I want to know your real name. Why. I don't be talking about it's looking for Chris. Deep. And then they talking about – you talking about Mo?
It's not that deep, LaVar. Yeah, it's Cuomo. That's all. Don't overthink it.
Hey, man. Chris Mo?
Cuomo, not Chris Mo.
Hey, man, you
Cuomo. LaVar, get your head straight.
Cuomo. Like Cuomo, like Google. Like the Google Chrome. I get it, Cuomo.
All right, that's it.
That's your hip-hop name in the hood, huh?
All right, last one, Matt. What's up, guys? Nicholas again from the 312. I've been following my Southsiders during the offseason, and rumors are circulating that Machado and Bryce Harper on Jerry's radar. Maybe even both. And we all know who Jerry's favorite child is, his beloved Sox. My question is, during two rebuilds under his ownership, who gets to the championship first, the Bulls or the White Sox? Let me know what you guys think. And Matt, sorry, hate the words come, but Jabari is still ass on the court. Keep up the great works. Keep up the great work. Loving the show.
Nice to hear from you, Nicholas. So I guess, Nicholas, I couldn't remember who it was that I reprimanded for calling Jabari scum, because even for me that seemed a little mean. I guess it was Nicholas. You can't apologize for calling Jabari scum and then instead call him ass. That's, come on, man. Stop. You're not helping. Maybe you're, you know, trying to make a little joke there, but look, you know that I am not a big Jabari fan. You know that I've been very critical of what he's done on the court so far, but don't call him ass. Don't call him scum. Don't call him ass. That's just mean. You can make fun of his play on the court. You can say he's not good. You can say a lot of things, but come on, grow up. As to his question, Bulls or Sox, who's winning a title among Jerry's two teams right now? Neither. Like, I don't have faith in either of these teams winning a championship anytime soon. What about you, Jordan? I know you're a big Sox fan.
Look, Luis Robert, winter ball, got named player of the week this week. He's finally healthy, hitting 400 and absolute bombs. Eloy Jimenez, same thing. Excited for him to come up. Look, Jerry obviously is going to spend the money on the White Sox. He's done that in the past. He said, like, to his credit, he will spend on the Bulls. Well, the Bulls are competitive, but obviously to get things started, you'd rather see another World Series. If the timelines are tough, man. Like, it's much harder to win an NBA championship, I think, modern day right now than what the White Sox are on track for. That sounds kind of crazy because you have to win your division, otherwise you're playing in a one-game wild card. But think about the track that you have to go on to win an NBA championship and the teams that you have to go up against and how good you have to be to get there. In baseball, it can be kind of crapshooty. You know, you make the playoffs, anything can happen. So if I had to lean one way or the other, the East, with the young stars that they have, it looks like it's on the rise until further notice about Golden State. They're still the ones to completely beat. So, man, I hate to say it, but I think I'm going to go to the White Sox over the Bulls, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I'm with you. If pressed to choose, I'd go White Sox just because it's far more frequent that you see wild card teams in Major League Baseball, you know, just rallying their way through and winning World Series than it is seeing eighth seeds in the NBA win titles. That just doesn't happen. And I think the Bulls are a season away from being in that conversation of a bottom tier playoff team. So until that changes, I'd say that the Sox are closer.
One thing to accelerate that is Markkanen and Levine, more so Levine. Focus on him for a second. If he becomes an all-star this year, then I think that accelerates things. And Jerry's going to look at that. And if Markkanen returns, is healthy, takes a step from where he was last year, now you're coming into a spring saying, okay, we've got Wendell Carter Jr., 19 years old. We've got Lowry Markkanen, looks great. We've got an all-star in Zach LaVine. Chris Dunn comes back, maybe looks pretty decent, maybe not, doesn't really matter. Those three guys, Carter, Markkanen, LaVine, all three of those guys playing well, I think that accelerates things. But until you get multiple...
The only way that accelerates things is if that somehow convinces Anthony Davis to come here. Those players developing and taking strides doesn't advance them closer to a championship. It advances them closer to being not completely irrelevant in a weak Eastern Conference. But unless their collective development catches the eyes of Anthony Davis or a similarly dominant superstar in this league, that needle does not move at all for the Bulls. Sorry, that's the truth.
That's why my answer comes to, it's got to come within. One of the three guys have to be consistent all-star level for that to convince not only Jerry, but convince other players around the league to come to Chicago and do what they're doing here. You know, the best opportunity, and we've seen swing and miss multiple times in free agency, your best opportunity to get back to the NBA Finals is to hope that Carter, Markkanen, LaVine, and maybe this first-round pick that you're going to get in 2019, one of those guys ends up being a top 15, top 20 player. That's the only way you accelerate this to a path of NBA Finals. You know, that might be harsh, and that might be a high bar to set, But it's true, man. You need 2 to 3 stars in this league to be a legit contender. And sometimes that's not even enough to get you there. So that might be the harsh truth right now, but it is. LaVine, Markkanen, Carter, and your first-round pick next year, one of those four guys has to turn out to be an all-star, top 20, top 25 player, and that might not even be enough.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks for dropping us voicemails, text messages. You can do that at 331-979-1369. Hit us up on Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Remember, we're giving away a Wendell Carter Jr. jersey. Head over to Twitter, retweet and like the tweet. Running that for about 48 hours. On top of that, bonus episode today. So look for that later today, maybe tonight sometime, just kind of recapping some of our best conversations over the last year or so. On top of that, some of our best guests, some of our best voicemails as well. So look out for that. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy Celtics and Bulls tonight. Be back tomorrow to break it all down for you. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Source tells ESPN that Warriors head coach Steve Kerr told Draymond Green he was suspended for tonight's game. Draymond then called Kerr, quote, a dumb cracker, end quote, and stormed out of Oracle, the arena. The saga keeps getting uglier. Sources also tell ESPN that Kevin Durant was too scared to go into the locker room while Green was there. He waited in his car until Green left. Sources also tell ESPN that Steve Kerr told general manager Bob Myers, Draymond cost us the 2016 title. We can't let him cost us the 2019 title. And their suggestion is a trade might be coming. It appears that some of what I've just written from might be a fake Woj account. A fake Woj account, even though the account says 2.6, you know, like several million followers, because now I'm at the place where I think is the real Woj account. And, you know, the Draymond Green has been suspended without pay. That much is true. But I think the other stuff I'm being told comes from, you know, he's got like 9 fake accounts because people take him so seriously as a newsbreaker that it becomes easy, I guess, to fool people. And I guess I'm now among the fooled. Not on the suspension. He is suspended, but on the Draymond Green calling Kerr a cracker.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com